by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
2025 has kicked off with a bang, and Wyoming Game and Fish Department has got a lot of stuff in the works right now, and Brandon Werner is with us, and Janet, as always, and I know in a couple of weeks we're going to have to talk turkeys, Janet.
Oh, turkey, gobble, gobble, but not yet. Let's wait for that great news.
Yeah, but then I do know that there are some things happening in our area that are pretty exciting if you're an archery hunter.
That's right. You know, you talk about starting off 2025 with a bang, but maybe we're starting it off a little more quietly. And so we're looking at doing some different archery-only hunting opportunities within the Casper region. We have, over the past several years, you know, we talk a lot about public input and the season-setting process and what that means to us. You know, the public's comments, what that means to us as an agency. And last year, during our harvest survey, we got a lot of comments about, come on, give us some more archery hunting opportunities in this area. You know, there's a big group of folks that are maybe a little bit more interested here than in other areas of the state. And so we're here to listen. And that's what Brandon is doing exactly. So we have with us Brandon Werner, our new wildlife management coordinator. So he oversees all of the wildlife biologists in the Casper region. So he oversees the Casper district, the Douglas district, and the Newcastle Sundance district. And so he has, you know, a lot of country that he gets to cover and a lot of things that he now gets to consider. But one of the things that's a throwback to his old job as the Casper district biologist is looking at some type 9 opportunities within our region.
Yeah, Brandon, let's explain a little bit to people what the whole mission is, because, you know, there is the archery only season that is a short bit of time. And then the season opens for rifle and all the other seasons. So what people are looking for is that archery only opportunity, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So a type 9 license is typically archery only. In this state, we see it in a few elk herds, like in the Bighorns over by Cody and Dubois. We don't have a lot of them over here in Casper. There's a couple deer archery only type 9s. There's a couple pronghorn. But mostly when people hear type 9, they think of elk. So just like Janet was saying, we are receiving a lot of hunter comments that want to see if there's any ideas that we can explore these in certain hunt areas. But on the other side of it, too, there's people like, hey, when I draw my type 1 any elk license in central Wyoming, that's typically 20 to 40% draws, I want that other opportunity to archery hunt. So, because right now, existingly, if you draw that one license, you can archery hunt during the special archery season, then move on to the regular season and pick up a rifle and go after them. So it's both sides of things. So we want to get these people together to, you know, cuss and discuss of why they want to go type 9s or why they don't.
Do you went through a lot of meetings. I know December was just meeting packed about mule deer. Did you get a lot of people that were a little bit concerned, or maybe not concerned is probably not the word, but interested in that archery only season?
Not so much with mule deer. Really, it's really boils down to elk, because typically these archery only type 9 seasons are during September. The elk are rutting, so they're bugling. You can call them in, you know, have more fun with them that way. So doesn't really get brought up with deer too often at all. In the long run, maybe it will, but in the short term, it's really not.
But right now, the meeting that is scheduled for the 23rd is just getting ideas and input from the public, right?
Exactly. We want to hear from the public. We want to hear from landowners. We want to hear from everybody that's got, you know, a stake in the game in elk and all wildlife. If they feel like a type 9 archery only in certain situations would work. You know, I have my personal and professional opinions on it too, but I want to hear from the public.
With the institution of the type 8, which is the almost unlimited in area 7 for elk, can you use a bow in that situation, or is that a rifle only?
basically type eights across the state. It is just gun only. We don't have any opportunity that I'm aware of that with a type eight, you can use, well, archery only. Like, you could use archery equipment if you wanted, you'd have to wear orange. But no, archery only, because the whole idea of the type eight is to harvest more elk. It's more efficient to use a rifle that way. But I'd like to jump back to the nine. So if we were to implement a type nine, somebody were to put in for it and get it, they can only archery hunt.
Okay.
So yeah, there would be no gun option associated with a type nine. So success rates are typically lower. There's some areas of the state where we have like 30% on some type nines that we do, but basically across the state where people pick up a bow, it's about 10% success.
So with that type nine, say it's a limited season, if that person doesn't harvest in that time period, can they still archery hunt through the rest of the season, or will it be limited to just that?
They'll be done. Yep. Yeah, you get that opportunity to archery hunt. Typically it's the month of September. It varies by hunt area. And then once that's done, you're done.
Just like Brandon's saying, Drew, that is in contrast to the special archery permit that we do sell, right? So that is a different opportunity.
Kind of like I talked about before, if you would say draw a type one or two, any elk license, even if you have fours and fives, any full price or reduced price cow calf, you can buy a special archery stamp, which lets you hunt during the special archery season. But a type nine, it's just the regular season, if that would make sense. So there's no special archery option. I know that gets kind of tricky, but once you look in the reg book, it definitely like kind of helps you look at it better.
So with that special archery permit or stamp that Brandon is talking about, once that season is over, you can put down your bow and you can pick up your rifle, right, and you can go out and still have additional opportunities, this additional hunting opportunities, which is, you know, why we haven't had a type nine license in Casper in quite a while, because people liked that option better. So now we're hearing from others that maybe that's not the option, the best option that they want, but that doesn't mean that the archery permit will go away. That's still a choice that the hunter will have if they draw, like, let's say again, that type one license, right? So, oh wait, Brandon's saying no, that will go away.
Potentially. It depends on the area. So right now we have some hybrids. So like, if you draw a type nine, some of them give you the first 15 days of September to hunt. And then the type one come in like the last 15 days of season, and the nines can hunt the whole month. But there's some areas of the state that we're seeing that the type one, now there's no special archery option anymore. And we're seeing more pushes in that within the state.
Okay, so that's interesting. And so that is something that hunters really need to be aware of and consider. I was not aware of that. I figured that would still be an option. And so people need to be aware, because that is, has in the past been, you know, something that people just enjoy archery hunting, but still want to get their meat. So sort of a situation, and that might not be happening.
Yeah. So, and I would like the public to really think too of type nines being like hunt area specific. So don't think of it like elk management altogether or just elk hunting altogether. So like a type nine in one hunt area might really work, but in another, it might not. So I'm actually proposing a type nine so that if a person were to get a type nine, they could hunt the month, almost the whole month of September in the rattlesnake. So elk hunt area 23, hearing a lot from the public out there that they would like to see that. But looking at the harvest success, it's only about 3.5% of the people that archery hunt out there actually fill elk tags. So
with a rifle,
with the archery equipment.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. With archery equipment. So yeah, we're looking to implement that there, but what it does is there is quite a few people that do actually archery hunt it, but there's a private land elk sanctuary there. So people are out there the month of September pushing elk around on side by sides, chasing after them and not getting a big harvest. And come October 1, when regular season opens, the elk are all on the big private ranch and they're inaccessible. So, but other areas of the state that have more better distributed elk, talking with the public, they might not like type nines there because it's hard to draw. And once they get it, there's elk distributed and they have a good hunt that way. So every hunt area is pretty specific on if a nine might work or might not work. But at the end of the day, we just want to hear from the public on what they would like to see.
And on that note, we want to hear from the public on both sides of the issue, right? If you're just a rifle hunter, this does affect you as well. This affects license distribution. This affects your opportunities as well. And so, you know, rifle hunters attend this meeting as well. It's not just those that are interested in archery. We want to hear from everyone and make sure that we are meeting the needs of the public.
Brandon, with this, the meeting, which is coming up the 23rd, which as you hear, I mean, it's very important if you are for or against to be at this meeting so that you are informed and the information is at your leisure there. But Brandon, you cover so many hunt areas in the Casper region. I mean, really all the way up to the Black Hills. I mean, there's some sort of elk population throughout. Are you finding that the areas like the rattlesnakes, that's where the most interest is, or are you seeing other places where they want to see that type nine come in?
I would say just central Wyoming in general, we're just seeing more of it because it is so hard to draw on any elk license that hunters are looking for more opportunities. They're looking for easier tags to draw so they can go out and do what they love to do. And that's hunt elk. Moving farther east in the state where the elk herds are a lot more distributed out, I don't hear near as many people wanting to go type nines because there's a lot of private land and it's just harder to find elk in that country. But here locally around Casper, there's definitely some interest there.
Would you say that if the type nine comes in, will that affect the numbers for rifle hunters? Will that impact that at all?
I'd say minimally, because we are pretty over objective on elk in most of our herd units here. So I don't anticipate a big cut anywhere for the rifle hunters. If anything, there would probably be additional any elk licenses, you know, ones, nines, twos. So there'd probably be more any elk opportunity altogether.
Which, I love hearing the progression of this, because obviously the elk population in Wyoming is strong and, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to go away anytime soon. And to have this extra option is great. And I know many people that they don't even pick up a rifle. They want to do the stalk, the spot, the creep up, the crawl on your hands and knees and really, you know, go rustic on the hunting, you know, atmosphere.
And that's exactly it, Drew. And if you talk to a lot of archery hunters, it's not even about the harvest. You know, it's more about that experience that you just described and being out there and just sitting and watching those magnificent animals at such a close range. You know, and so that's a lot of what's really exciting to, you know, a majority of those hunters. And so it's really neat to see.
But on the other side of things, you know, when I get lucky and I draw on any elk license, I like being able to go archery hunt. And then if I don't get one, I need to get some meat in the freezer, you know. So we're hearing both sides of the spectrum on this.
Yeah.
For sure.
And obviously they want to hear everything. So show up at that meeting on the 23rd. Where's the meeting going to be and what time?
So it'll be here at the Casper Regional Office. We'll start at 6:00. The first hour will be just talking about archery hunting opportunities. The second hour will just be an open discussion about elk management in the Casper region.
So that is Thursday, the 23rd of January. You'll want to make that, put that on your calendar and show up. It's after work, so grab some dinner and go check them out there. And since we're on the topic of license, we're getting close to the cutoff for non-residents to submit their applications.
Yes, don't forget that non-resident elk licenses, are due by January 31st. And so right now the application period is open. And I know that doesn't seem like something that people in Wyoming should be caring about, but if you have family from out of state that you typically hunt with or want to, have that opportunity with, don't let them forget. That is needed by January 31st.
Yeah. And make sure you let, your friends, family that are non-residents know that if they apply now, they still have till May till we finalize regulations to modify their application, but they have to be in by the 31st. Also, spring turkey is open now. We just have one hunt area in the state. So if you applied, you could do the type three, which opens a little bit earlier than a general season. But I do caution people, if you put in for that type three, just know early in April, most of those turkeys are on private land. So it's pretty hard to fill a turkey tag in early April on public land.
And that includes the streets of Casper.
That's right.
Which we're getting into that with Brandon in just a couple of weeks. But it's important that you learn all the information that you need about the possible top nine, type nine license that could come into the Casper region. January 23rd, 6 o'clock at the regional office. Make sure you're there if you're interested or you have more questions, or even if you're against it. This is your place to shine and let your voice be heard.
That's right. No fights, but we're here to listen.
Absolutely. And you know what really makes me happy is when I go to a public meeting like this and it's got a full room, because then you can really hear both sides of what people want or don't want. And then the other side, they can really talk, be like, this is why I don't want to do this and why. And they just see a different side of things. And I'll be there to provide all the data we need. So, yeah, tell your friends, tell your family. Let's get a full room that night.
Very good. January 23rd, you want more details? Hit them up at the Wyoming Game and Fish Department office. You can get all the numbers and contact info at wgfd.wyo.gov.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew along with Brian Woodward at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where, Brian, we've had a little bit of snow. We went a good stretch where we didn't know if we were going to have any snow, and now every other day we get a little bit.
Yeah, I thought I was living in Florida there for a while. I mean, Gosh, we didn't have any weather, and now we finally got a little bit of cold and a little bit of snow. So
yeah, and luckily here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, you guys are prepared for that. You start thinking about that probably in summertime.
Yeah, you know, this cold snap definitely got people thinking about their new pair of boots and making sure they got their gloves and hats and all their winter needs for sure.
So one of the things that, you know, you guys store here, and we've talked about this before because it wasn't really on top of people's mind because the weather was so nice, but snowshoes and heading up on the mountain and doing some cross-country skiing and outdoor stuff.
Yeah, you know, they haven't had a great snowpack on the mountain, but there's been quite a few people that have been running the trails up there. They've been grooming trails, and we've been still selling some snowshoes and trekking poles, and people have definitely been getting up on the mountain and enjoying a little bit of time up in that bear trap area.
One of the things that people can't forget, and I was just thinking about this, I need to get it before I leave today, is the ORV stickers and your snowmobile stickers and stuff.
Yeah, state parks, snowmobile, and ORV. You know, there's a lot of early incentives for those state park passes, so you can save a few dollars on those passes. But now that we're getting the snow, we had quite a few people that were heading down to Saratoga area with their snowmobiles and sold a lot of passes in the last few weeks.
Yeah, so if you know you haven't got those yet, make sure to come in and check those out. Now, there are some hunters that are still out doing things. I know you've been out doing some bird hunting, and you went goose hunting this past week.
Yeah, I had my son in town from he's down in North Carolina, so he brought one of his girlfriends up, and we got to experience a little bit of goose hunting in some cold weather, and she was quite the trooper. And then followed that up a couple days later, went out to Riverbend Roosters and shot some pheasants and had a great time.
So one of the great parts, and we talk about this a lot, is if you have people coming into town, you don't have to buy that annual hunting license for that. You can come in, get that 3-day pass, the short-term pass, and then head out and do some hunting.
Yeah, actually, you know, the out-of-state just daily hunting pass is, you know, pretty reasonable, I thought. So, and you can't really put a price on fun anyway. So,
right.
Yeah, it's so we can take care of all that here at the store. And, of course, you know, spring fishing is going to be kicking in too. So the river's obviously open. So we got a lot of fly fishermen that are hitting the Gray Reef area and some of the Miracle Mile.
So another thing that you had mentioned is that guys are coming in and checking out new firearms. Obviously, maybe you got that gift card for Christmas or a birthday, mm-hmm. and you guys have the biggest selection of firearms in Casper and maybe the whole state.
We don't guarantee we've got the biggest selection in the state. We have a lot of firearms, and we've tried to keep up to date on some of the newest stuff too. So whether it's a rifle, shotgun, a pistol, we try to keep up on that. So you know, if you're looking for something specific, of course you can go to our website and look and see if it's available there. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not available in the store, because the two aren't linked together. So feel free to give the store a call. But a lot of guys are coming in, and you know, their buddy shot an animal this last season with a particular caliber or a particular gun, and they were impressed enough with it that they want to have the same gun. So we can certainly make that happen, and getting them early in the year is obviously important, so that you can get your optics on there, get to the range, get it sighted in, and go from there.
Which you mentioned the range in Stuckenhoff's. You can get those passes here, and I know February 1st they're having their annual banquet, so there's an opportunity there to come in and grab a ticket for that, and then you can get out and sight that in. And another thing that happened here in Casper not long ago was a coyote hunting event where, you know, there were a bunch of guys that were out doing some coyote hunting, and now may be a good time to get that rifle, to get it sighted in and go out and shoot some coyotes.
Yeah, and the reports I've heard, you know, as long as the conditions are good, they had one event that was kind of like a 24-hour event that went overnight, and it was just not the best conditions, super windy. But if you can pick your days, from the reports I'm hearing from guys is there's an awful lot of coyotes out there. So it's a good time to maybe grab a buddy and maybe figure out, watch some YouTube videos and figure out what the requirements are how to go about it.
Yeah, and one of the things in Wyoming, you don't have to have a special license for that, or you can use any kind of firearm, or you want to get crazy and use a bow, you can do that too.
I'm not doing it with a bow. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing is there's a lot of calibers that you can certainly use, and you got, you know, you don't have to have anything specialized for that coyotes. I know guys that are shooting them with shotguns, so yeah, come on in, we can get you hooked up. We've got calls, we've got ammunition, we've got the firearms.
Get in here and check it out. Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, CY Avenue in Casper. And of course you can go start your shopping extravaganza at rockymountainsports.com.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Drew and Brian back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports on Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. Of course, if you have any questions about any of the items we talk about or any of the adventures that we go on, you can always hit us up in the radio station's app and send that question in, and we'll get it answered for you. And Brian, another thing that we talked a little bit about is ice fishing and fishing. In Wyoming, you can fish every day of the year. At some point, you can go. If there's no open water, you can get ice. If there's no ice, you can find open water, and you can always get that line in the water.
Yeah, you might have to drive a little further than you might, maybe what you wanted to, but there's open water somewhere in the state of Wyoming all of the time. But right now, you know, we're getting into that hot and heavy season of ice fishing, and it's starting to turn around with the cold weather we had last week. Most of the local reservoirs are starting to ice over pretty well. Still got to be extremely cautious because they're, you know, it is just starting to ice over in some of these, even the local ponds here, but Pathfinder and Alcova, you know, are starting to cap, but that's not going to be great for a little bit.
Right. Glendo, I've heard reports that they're starting to have some pretty good ice in some places. Boyson, another one that usually that's one of the first one that really gets the best ice.
Yeah, and it's had a lot of attention. A lot of people have been over there. I mean, I've heard anywhere from, you know, 70 to 100 groups of guys over there at a time. But it kind of makes it fun, but, you know, at the same time, you know, we got to learn to kind of respect each other's space. Yeah. And, you know, the camaraderie is great, but, you know, when you're the only guy out there and somebody walks down there and just wants to start talking to you about how great it is, and all of a sudden they're drilling holes 20 feet from you, let's give them all their space.
There's
guys.
A whole lake here, and you got to come right here. I was earlier this week doing some research on some of the ways that guys are really upping their game when it comes to ice fishing. And over the last few years, one of the big ones has been the ice fishing RVs, where the RVs are set up to get out on the ice. They have the pre cut holes all through floors with the plugs and everything. And then you could go in, and if you have good eyes, you could stay there for weeks.
Yeah, there may be some different requirements with state parks and that kind of stuff here. But, yeah, there's a lot of guys that have, the ice castles, where it's basically a big trailer that's decked out to the hills, TVs, all that kind of stuff, and they'll just crank them right down to the ice after they drive them out there, and they're flush to the ground. And man, I've been in a couple. They are sweet machines.
If your significant other or your kids are ever like, "I'm not going out there; it's too cold," this is probably the way you could get them.
Yeah, and for all you kids that says, "Well, Dad already has everything," he doesn't have one of those. Feel free to buy him one of those.
we joke about things like that, but really the way the technology is moving along, I mean, there are all kinds of things that, and you guys carry a lot of the stuff here in store that, from the ice shanties all the way to the sleds and the augers. I mean, there's so many things that make it easier these days.
Well, and I've had discussions even this last week with guys about the forward facing sonar, the Garmin Panoptic, where you can basically now drill a hole and it'll shoot, you can point it whatever direction and know 50, 60 feet out from you where fish are at. So now guys are drilling a hole, dropping their transducer down, and they're moving that transducer around the hole, and they're like, "Yep, we need to go 30 feet that way. There's a group of fish over here, or there's a rock, or there's a structure." I've seen some really cool pictures of structure that people have found where it's old fence lines or old vehicles in the water. So the Garmin Panoptix, of course, it's expensive, but that's something that can transition into spring fishing where it can be put on a boat as well. So kind of a multi-purpose unit, but that one's been super popular.
That was going to be my next question is, what kind of technology is there? And obviously, if you already have it, why not use it?
Yeah, back in the day, we used to just have, first you didn't have anything, right? Then you had like the old flasher units that you could at least see fish come up off the bottom. Then you had flashers that had GPS in them. And the GPS was great because, typically if you're out there and you drill 30 holes in the course of a day, there might be one or two holes that really produce. And that hole's producing for whatever reason. There's some type of structure down there. Something's holding those fish in that area. And so it's nice now with the GPS is to be able to put a waypoint and say, okay, when I come back here in 2 weeks, I'm going to drill a hole here on this 30th hole where that was producing fish. And you can use that graph to identify where you need to be.
If my grandpa were still alive and knew the kind of technology that was out there, it blows my mind. And, I'm 47 years old. I can only imagine what some of those old timers are thinking.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of those old timers are actually, really grasping, this bull by the horns. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. A lot of guys have gotten away from the gas augers, They came out with propane augers, then now there's no more mixing oil and gas, and so you don't have to worry about getting gas on your hands when you're dealing with minnows. Then they came out with all the electric stuff, and whether you have an electric unit or you've just got yourself a nice Milwaukee and you're taking just the head and just running a K-drill or whatever the case is, some of these new augers are just phenomenal.
Almost making it too easy.
It's definitely making it convenient. I mean, like ice fishing can be, it is a lot of fun, but it can be a lot of work too. You're hauling a sled with all your gear out and then you're trying to find a brake line or trying to find, there's still some science to it. I mean, when you're in a boat, you have the opportunity to move around really easy, right? You and I have been spot locked on a spot for hours and then all of a sudden fish move and we move 30 feet and all of a sudden there's another pot of fish. And, sometimes we get lazy as ice fishermen because we're like, that's fine. I'm not going to drill any more holes. I don't have to reel my line in and go to another spot. And,
I just have me another hot toddy and sit here.
Exactly. Exactly.
With the ice fishing, and I assume because I was looking at the next 10 days weather, and we're going to warm up into the 30s, upper 30s, a couple of days during the day, but then we're dropping down the teens, even single digits and below zero by next week.
Well, and we have not seen below zero temperatures, all winter. So once we, you know, those days start not getting above 30, it's making ice constantly. You know, I was out duck hunting the other day, and you know, I'm hunting below Gray Reef, which generally stays open, but I could start seeing that the edges are icing up, and I can start seeing little clumps of ice forming and pushing down river. So it is definitely getting cold. When that river starts freezing up, I mean, you know, it's we're there.
So last year, the Hog Derby out at Pathfinder had to be canceled because the ice situation was a little sketchy.
Right.
But the way that we're going, if we continue in this trend, things are going to be looking pretty good for that.
Yeah, you know, guys have been fishing up Sweetwater Arm and a few of the bays, you know, for a month now, three weeks or so. And we get another 3 weeks of, you know, this type of weather, it's going to make a lot of ice real fast. And Pathfinder, especially being a higher elevation lake, as long as we keep that wind down, that wind really seems to affect that ice conditions more than anything. So the cold weather and maybe keep the wind down a little bit, we should have hoping for really good ice for that derby.
Which, if you go into our radio station's app, you can find out more information about how to get signed up for that and get tickets. Also, real quick, we'll do a quick update on the Wyoming Walleye Stampede, which begins in May, and then the Walleye Banquet, which is coming up in April.
Yeah, April 12th for the North Platte Walleye Banquet. Should have tickets available for sale as soon as we get them printed. So hopefully we'll have those in hand soon. And we will have those tickets available here at the Rocky Mountain Discount Sports as well. We are moving the facility. We have sold out, you know, months in advance for that event, and we've kind of outgrown our old space. So we will be moving the banquet down to the fairgrounds. So be looking for that as a change for this year. But same program, money all stays in Wyoming. We've supported a lot of great programs, a scholarship program at Casper College for people going into the wildlife management, life jacket loaner programs, kids fishing programs throughout the state, whether it's a school, elementary school, high school, or just a fishing derby. The money stays here. There's no paid members. And if you're going to get behind one of the nonprofits that's a local charity, this is a great one to get involved with.
Yeah, and if it's something that you're not here, I know this show airs all over the state, so if you're not in the Casper area, you're still welcome to get tickets and come be part of this.
Plenty of hotel space in Casper, and you know, like again, it is a great cause. I think the week after that, maybe 2 weeks after that banquet, will be the Tough Man Tournament at Alcova. So, yeah, I think that's like the 28th or something like that. So that'll be a one-day event on a Saturday. So you can register for that at the banquet, or you can give us a shout through our Facebook page and request an application from there as well. But permits are in hand and all a go for that. And then, of course, with the Walleye Stampede, we're full swing of accepting applications for the tournaments. The one change this year is that we are opening up the entries applications for teams that are fishing for all three events first. So they're going to have 60 days to get registered. After that 60 days, March 1st, we'll start accepting applications if you're only going to fish the boys in tournament or only going to fish Pathfinder or only going to fish one of the Glendo tournaments. So that's a little bit different than past, but we are running a circuit, and we want to make sure we give our guys that are fishing all three events an opportunity to get in first. And after that, there will be a random draw of whether or not people get in.
And obviously, again, you know, you can be statewide. We have guys that come from Colorado, Nebraska, you know, Idaho, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, coming over to fish that. So
yeah, most of those tournaments we have, you know, somebody represented from about seven different states. So it's a really neat way to, you know, to add some camaraderie to your day. And, you know, I mean, I think, you know, for most of us, you know, we're just looking for a reason to not have to work that weekend and just a way to release and spend some time with a buddy on the water. And, you know, most of of us are pretty competitive anyways. So, you know, you get a full day of competitiveness versus a couple hours at a casino.
And maybe no ball and chain.
Bring her along. It's okay. There's plenty of guys that fish with their ball and chains.
And that's fine. It's fine. Well, if you have questions, one of the easiest ways to figure it out is come by here and talk to Brian. You know, the store's open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. most days. So
9 to 6 on Sundays.
Yeah, so
Not here on Sundays. I'll be in the field.
Right. You're or going on the lake. Or on the ice or on the water. So get out here, check it out. Again, if you have questions, come on in and see him here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the show every week. You can obviously listen to all of the shows that we've done over the years on demand at the radio station's app. And one of my favorite places to go just hang out and shoot my firearms is heading out to Steckenhoff Shooters Complex, which is near the Casper landfill here in the Casper area. And there's a big event coming up on February 1st, and Jason Magnuson is with us today. And Jason, I know that Steckenhoff, the shooter complex, is a home for many people to just kind of escape the regular life.
Boy, that's the truth. We've got all kinds of events going on out there all the time.
One of the things that I like is that there are many of opportunities to not just shoot a rifle, but there are handguns, there's an indoor archery and air rifle range, and even if you're looking for that long distance. And that's one of the great things that Steckenhoff offers.
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, we've got a great pistol club out there. We shoot USPSA monthly. The Tuesday night steel group that just meets to do an informal match every Tuesday night with pistols and with PCCs. A fantastic group of guys. If you've never been to that, you got to get there. We replaced the archery targets in the building last year with the funds that we raised at our banquet. We're doing a lot of work on the long range right now. We're actually going to expand it out, so we'll have 900 usable yards. We're just doing a ton of stuff. We've got a ton of groups out there doing some really fun shooting.
That's another thing that I like. It's kind of a family when you get involved with Steckenhoff, because you pay the membership once a year, and gosh, you can go out and use the facilities, and everyone is so nice. That's something that has been kind of a welcome thing, is that anytime that I've been out there and maybe had issues or had firearm issues, that any of the guys that are there are just open to answer questions.
Yeah, we've got great support staff out there. Great guys show up and just shoot. And I mean, anything that comes up, there's somebody there to talk to you about it and help you with it.
So having a facility like Steckenhoff Shooters Complex it's tough because you know, you got to keep up, you got to do maintenance, and really financially, that's where a lot of the issues can come in. Or if something falls by the wayside, I mean, there's just not money to fix a lot of things. So that's why you have things like the banquet.
Oh, big time. Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of things that we've been working on out there. We've got a new parking lot right now. We fixed a bunch of drainage issues, but the city's kind of slow to give us money.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have this banquet every year and it raises a lot of money. It really helps us do range improvements, range maintenance. And with the money we raised last year, like I said, we did those new archery targets. We replaced all the seats on the 300-yard range. We just got a lot of really good stuff done. And we've got a big list of stuff we're going to get done with the proceeds from this year as well.
When you talk about some of the groups that are out there, I know that there's someone there, gosh, a lot of the time during the week. You know, I know the Casper PD goes out there, and I'm sure that's where they qualify and where they keep their skills sharp. So, you know, what are some of the other groups that people can get involved with?
We have a really good NRL 22 group. If you don't know what that is, it's high precision with 22 caliber rifles. It's targets as small as a quarter of an inch out to 100 yards. And that is just a kick in the pants. I'm going to tell you right now, to be ringing steel that's half an inch wide at 50 yards, it's just fun. There's a new IDPA club that's putting themselves together at Ghost Town Shooters. I think they just had their first or second match not long ago. The Cowboy Action Club, if you're into revolvers and lever guns, they do a lot of fun stuff.
During the summer, it's really active there too. Of course, you have the big shoot there that comes every year. And how many people were out there this summer that were competing?
Yeah, we host the Wyoming Governor's Match every year out there, which is a level two USPSA match. Last year we had right about 200 shooters from all over the country come. We had factory sponsored grandmasters out there. We had representatives from a bunch of the really big gun brands show up and just hang out with us. It was really cool. And this year we've actually got three of those big matches coming. We've got our state sectional match in May. The governor's match is again in July this year. And then we're bringing back the Smoking Guns, which will be in the first weekend of October.
That is awesome, man. And I love seeing that there's so much activity going on. And I know that it takes a good group of shooters. You know, it's not like it's a paid position to go out there and help out. It's really just the love of getting out and shooting.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole thing's volunteer driven. So the more volunteers we have, the more fun things we can do. So if you've got a minute to come and help us, come on out. We'll find a place for you to work with us.
So when someone wants to become a member of Stuck and Hoffs, I know you can go to like Rocky Mountain Discount Sports and you can get your membership there. Or when someone's in the office, you can get your membership there. But what all does your membership pertain of? Like what happens when you become a member?
Well, there are several different levels of membership. There's the general membership that gets you access to the 100-yard range, the 300-yard range, the shotgun range. Then you can join the long range, which gets you access to that range that we're just about to make to 900 yards. It gets you access to the it used to be the black powder range. Now it's the range where we do NRL 22. And we've built some new action pistol bays up there as well. It gets you access to that. If you're really interested in going slightly more private, you can join the Ghost Town Shooters, which is, if you've ever been out there, it's that first fenced off area. It's six pistol bays, you know, the gate locks. It's very private if you like to stay away from the general public.
Yeah, and obviously you had mentioned that the indoor archery range, the targets were just replaced, and that's a great facility too, because, you know, it gets you out of the elements and kind of lets you focus in on getting your archery and your bow sighted in and in good shape.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's a great facility in there as well.
So
we just got a lot of fantastic things going, man.
We had talked that the banquet is coming up on February 1st. And when I was looking at the flyer to look at what all was involved, gosh, man, this movie Gun Ticket is going to be one of the coolest raffle items that I think I've ever seen in one organizational meeting.
Yeah, isn't that fun? I'm especially excited about the Die Hard package. We just got the MP5 the other day. It looks fantastic. It's going to be really, really cool.
So if people want to get in, you can go into our station's app. We've got a link that you can hook up that way. Or you can go check out Stuck and Hoff's website and get your tickets that way too. If you're going as a single, it's $85 for the meal. If you want a table, it's $600. That's up to eight people. And then the packages kind of go a little up until you get to the sponsor table, which it's the ultimate package there. So if you're a company and you want to sponsor this event, it's a great opportunity. And I'll tell you, Jason, I know you guys put a lot of work in, not just to the range, but to make sure that this banquet goes off. And it looks like it's going to be a great one.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Right now, we've got about 15 guns right now that we're going to raffle and auction off. You know, we're gonna have live and silent auctions, a ton of giveaways. We're gonna have Dave's Darts and Billiards out there with his blackjack tables. We're gonna do a distillery dash. It's just gonna be an awful fun party.
Yeah, a great time at the Hangar Barn Grill in Bar None. Again, it's February 1st. Make sure to get over to the app or get to the Stuck and Off website to find out all the information, get those tickets, buy up those tables, and really support this awesome facility that we have with Stuck and Off Shooters Complex. And Jason, I appreciate you spending time with us and look forward to big things coming this year out of Stuck and Off's.
Well, thanks. I appreciate your time today.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.